What's up, fam? Good to see you guys out there today. Today I have the one and only founder, co-founder, and programmer and developer for Pill.net. Someone who I met, what's it been, three years ago now, I guess, maybe before that even, that I'm aware of. And we all came together looking for a platform and a way to keep people like my voices out there because we were getting banned everywhere else. Matt, it's great to see you. And, you know, I got a lot of love and respect for the Pill developers because you guys gave me an opportunity to still have a voice when I was put into my own little corner of the internet. I call myself Uncensored A, but I'm on the most censored because, you know, I feel like I bring a lot of truth to the discussion. And, those of us who bring truth to the discussion ended up nowhere. And we landed together on a spot where we built a family, and I'm very proud of everything that you guys have built here, and to be a small part of it has been a great honor, man. It's just been a lot of fun, and you guys have done something very special here, and I really appreciate you, man. Welcome to the platform. Welcome to a conversation with co-founder of Pill.net, Matt 1776. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I'm honored to be one of your, you know, first interviews you're starting up with this new series that I'm really excited to get into, you know, watching. And it's definitely a mutual honor because, you know, when we wrote this platform, it was kind of funny because we, you know, I always looked up to, you know, kind of idolized all of these streamers here. And then they all came over to my platform at, you know, the platform we were building at once. And you know, being one of them. And I know you were definitely here from that initial wave. So, you know, 3 years ago, it's definitely been so. It's cool to see it, you know, still thriving and, you know, everyone's doing new things. So
it's super cool, man. And, you know, at the beginning of it, it was unlike anything that was out there. You know, and it still is unlike anything out there. And the more people learn about the platform and understand what we've built here, you know, there was a lot of people who had their own kind of families built into their streams, and they had their people who they got to know over a period of 5 years, a long period of time working together to try to get information out there and try to fight the narrative and fight the information war at the front lines, man. And then you put them all on a platform together, and you start to see just magical things happen. Some of the greatest conversations, some of the best content that's out there is currently archived somewhere, I hope, on Pill.net, man. And it's hard to explain to people what it's been like over the growth of the platform over the last 3 years. It really is. Can you get kind of a reflection of it from the idea at the beginning to, you know, where it's at now and where you, I'm sure you have a vision of where it's going. I think I have a vision of where it's going to, and it's going to be a great platform for a long time. So give me an idea of the reflections of the last 3 years.
Yeah. So really the idea of everything, kind of first formulated, maybe the, you know, inklings of it back in 2016, you know, with the WikiLeaks drops, and, you know, there was, I was looking into topics like Pizzagate and stuff like that at the time, which, you know, you never find out if things are true or not really, but, there was a lot of research and, especially with those WikiLeaks emails. What I realized is like places that I thought, you know, were just kind of free ranges like Reddit and stuff like that and Twitter were the places where they were really trying to shape the narrative and, you know, stop people, you know, questioning certain things and everything like that. And that was like happening in 2016, you know, during those wonderful, primary and presidential debates, you know, where you got Trump telling Hillary, you know, well, you'd be locked up. And it was just just really fun, you know, times. But that led into, you know, like a year and a half later when I joined a company as a database developer. And that's where Matt Brown was also working. And we were just both, developers at corporate America. It was for Snap Fitness. So like a fitness, it was like a fitness company, but we were, working on the IT systems and stuff like that. So, but we just ended up talking and, I had already been into kind of researching certain areas and just, I was kind of big onto Twitter and seeing how like different topics, like multitudes of topics were being shut down. And it was happening more and more rapidly as you approached the election and stuff like that. And what I realized is it's like, there's going to be a vacuum created that needs to be filled. And it was just kind of lucky timing because we started writing the platform in like the 2018 time range where we started working on the project. I was like, I had just started out as a coder at that position. So I was like fresh into coding, but I really loved it. And I realized soon that I was like very good at it. And so, I just learned things really fast. And, Matt Brown had already been a few years in the game. And so we came together and we started working on this project, but it was just like a year later. And, we actually got in contact with Woke Societies, Scott from Woke Societies, and he was the first one that saw that we were building this live stream thing. And he's like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And he would stream some of his shows there. And it was very lucky timing because we already had the Pilled platform out there. And I think like a month later, or maybe 2 months, it was like a month to 2 months, is when the whole Hunter Biden laptop situation happened and you guys all got kicked off YouTube. He had already, had been working with us because we were doing some promotions on his channel for Pilled. And he saw what we were doing and he's like, knew that we were just a couple Minnesotan guys and we didn't have any like big tech connections or big corporate funding. Like we were just some honest people trying to create a better future. And so he, I took a chance with us and then brought more people like Methods and Red Pill and yourself and just like a whole
Yeah, we were
bunch of
all
people.
a little
Yeah,
feedback
all
on
the
this side. We were all like, we all hung out together. All the streamers were all the good streamers, all the ones that had the right hearts were brought in by Methods into a conglomerate of all of us together, and we all kind of hung out and talked together. And so I remember talking to Scott way back then, and him telling us about this, and he was like, "Look, you guys got to check this thing out." So we were all kind of, looking at it and watching what happened, and then sure enough, like you said, he gets banned from YouTube shortly after I get banned from YouTube. All of us gone, censored off of Twitter. Just like it just snaps, like all of a sudden, no more free speech. You guys are done. And so, for us, a landing pad is exactly what we needed, and the timing was perfect. And you guys had this kind of concept already kind of coming, which is beautiful timing, I might say, godlike timing. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's like I get like, it's funny because I haven't met most of these people besides, the other Matt in real life. Just because we're separated across different states and everything. But I know eventually I'll meet up with more of these guys, but it's like you feel a close connection and like these times bring back memories and it was a really poignant moments and fun times and but it's great that that still going, there's still a need for this type of thing and it's probably going to be even more, it's going to be like a repeat because now we have another election where it's they're going to tighten those clamps on free speech and when it really matters and we'll see which platforms bend their knee and we won't, so.
Yeah, that's what I love about the platform is the foundations behind it. At the foundational level, the right people are here and they're nowhere else. So like you're saying, it's going to play itself out over time when the EU starts sending letters from their lawyers into Rumble in Canada and start sending these their letters from their lawyers from the European Union into Florida with Truth and the rest. Every other platform is going to start getting these violations of European law, and whether or not they have any kind of foundation to the existing networks of the internet. The one thing that we learned over the past is that ICANN and the usual internet structure is easily controlled and is controlled by the globalist. And they can get rid of anybody off of any platform anywhere in the world if they want to, because they basically control the internet. And I think...
Oh, yeah, definitely do. And, this great research video called The Dead Internet Theory
is what algorithm can capture your attention the longest. And eventually they're going to develop some algorithm that's so good that you just stay hooked on every waking second and even when you're asleep too.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
that could be the future.
I mean, there was a theory called the Dead Internet Theory, and I'm not sure if you heard of that theory. So basically they're saying that, you know, the internet is 80% is controlled by bots, even in YouTube comment sections and all of these things. It's not actually real people. You know, when you're on the internet, it's supposed to be where everything is, but actually a lot of people are feeling lonely on the internet. It's feeling empty. It's not what it once was. You know, once upon a time, the internet, you could really find anything. But now the internet is almost controlled. It's like you can't even find other alternative information. You're just finding fact checked, or, you know, it's like everything is being moved into the same thing, same information everywhere.
It comes to mind where basically, you know, through Google and other means, they kind of control the winners and the losers of the internet. And very much so, they inflate places with bots and AI and algorithms to pump certain places up, and, you know, other places can get there. It's just a lot harder. So they definitely, you know, when there's places that I think are honeypots more or less, so that they seem like they're free speech, but they're really still controlled at the end of the day. And when, you know, push comes to shove, or they get too close to the truth, they'll be forced to kind of, you know, do something and, you know, maybe shadow ban someone or something like that. So, I think, you know, we're kind of still, you know, there's a few others, but we're kind of still one of the true, you know, last places left, I guess, or, you know, surviving in the midst of that. So
yeah, what were some of the challenges back in the day when you were first, you know, trying to build the platform? And then I know we went through some growth pains when we started to get more bandwidth usage on the platform. Talk about those initial challenges and you know, fighting through those, and give us a little bit behind the scenes now that it's been a couple of years, because I don't think many people that have been on the platform for a long period of time understand those growth challenges and those initial challenges just to get it launched to begin with.
Yeah, it was kind of hard because we had to start off, because as a small place with just basically learning the ropes as a developer, we actually did use the cloud, like Microsoft Azure, at the very start of it, and just to get off there faster. But then we migrated the platform a couple times, you know, once over to Vanwa was another, you know, place we used. And then eventually where we're at now is we have our own servers and our own hardware and everything like that. But you don't realize, okay, it's the best to get your own stuff because you think it's harder. But once you go there, it's like we haven't had any issues, knock on wood, for, you know, I looked at my, you know, checks, and it's been, you know, like a year or a couple of years since we've had any downtime, or like over a year now since we've gone onto our own system. But so before, as we were kind of testing the waters, what you realize is, you know, when you get thousands of people on a stream and they're all commenting, it takes quite the toll on a system in a back end, and like you have to have caching systems involved. And so I remember those, you know, when methods used to stream and he'd just tell his chat, okay, guys, go break the chat now. And, you know, people would start and it would just make the problem worse because he would tell people to do it and then they would break it in like, you know, 30 minutes later. And we eventually realized that these cloud infrastructures were not, they tell you that it's easily scalable, but they're not very scalable at all. You know, unless you have like, you know, some better caching systems involved. So, but yeah, we, you know, each trial and tribulation, you learn from it. And it's like, there were definitely some growing pains, but now it's like we've reached a kind of a new pasture of, you know, we've got those chinks in our armor, you know, solidified, and you kind of ready to kind of, I think, grow to the next level now. So it's, you really, and the thing is, those are the best learning experiences, because if you don't have those like failures and utter failures and stuff like that, and it wasn't like a complete utter failure, but we'd have times when stuff would just break and it would be completely broken and you have to go in and fix it. And you have to really realize, and it's just a team, you know, me and another developer. So you're fixing it yourself. So you get good at everything, because you're not delegating it to someone offshore, or, you know, someone else that you're like, hey, go fix this. And they tell you kind of a small synopsis of what happened. You're fixing it yourself. So you get intimately knowledgeable on all the fine inner details. And it's like you have everything memorized, you know, in terms of like everything that happens, even if it's a problem that hasn't happened for a while, you'd be like, oh yeah, I know what to do here. So yeah, it just prepares you, I guess, for, you know, for what's to come. But it's a trial by fire. And it's like, I think that's what's made our platform, like, you know, be so capable of competing, is because, you know, those trials by fire make you so excellent at what you're doing that you really can compete, because like not every place has dealt with that before.
Yeah. And the best part about it is the audience is incredible. And I don't know who they are, but I know that those who know come to Pilled, man, and have come to Pilled for a long time. And they're some of the best, most patriotic, most freedom loving, family loving, just people loving humans that you would ever want to know. And you've built something really special here that should be cherished, and you should be proud of it. It's got to feel like a baby to you. Let me go back to young Matt. Tell me a little bit about Matt growing up. You know, was Matt a young punk? Was Matt a skater style of mind? Tell me about high school, Matt. Where'd you grow up? You know, some influences about and passions in your life as a high schooler.
Yeah, as a high schooler, you know, junior high school, I was, you know, me and my friends were really into like skateboarding and stuff. You know, we're kind of into that, like, you know, kind of punk. And I guess like maybe I was kind of looking at myself like, you know, back in the day, and we just do dumb shit, like, you know, toilet paper people's houses and stuff, like as in junior high, and, you know, watch Jackass and CKY and some of that stuff. And it's like, wow, we were not, you know, it was not the best role models. But you know, it just kind of, I guess that was somewhat of the culture back in the day. But yeah, no, I loved to skateboard, probably like up until like eighth or ninth grade. And then I kind of, you know, somewhat started to like get into band stuff and stuff like that. But as a young kid in junior high school, I was also into wrestling, which was pretty tough, and you know stuff like that. So that kind of, maybe that definitely, I looked back, I eventually quit. I didn't go through all the way through high school, but
yeah, me too.
I think I look back at wrestling when I was a kid, because my parents would have me go to all the weekend tournaments and stuff, like from like, you know, elementary, junior high. And it was it was really tough, but I always look back and think that like it's like maybe somewhat where my character was like shaped a bit, you know, in terms of like mental toughness and stuff like that.
It'll definitely put it into you. I was a wrestler too, and it's a different sport, and it's a very it's very different than football or anything else. And you're right, it'll bring toughness into you when you work your ass off for a month for the next tournament, and then you go in and eat your ass kicked.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's there's no one that's been in that sport that hasn't gotten their ass kicked, and it's funny how like what I always remember how like physically exerting it could be, and it's like 6 minutes. It's like how can you not survive something that's, you know, 6 minutes long? But it feels like an eternity, you know, when you're, you know, every ounce of effort is being put forth. But yeah, I mean that's really kind of you know. I still like to this day, you know, will go to a shop and see a skateboard, and I've bought one recently. And even though I'm like a little bit fatter than I used to be, you know, I'm still able to do some of the tricks, which is kind of fun. But yeah, we used to snowboard a lot too. So nice. that's kind of how it was. There wasn't, you know, high school was kind of funny, that time period where it's like, you know, I just kept thinking I like wanted everything to like, oh, I just want to get to the next stage and, you know, have a car or go to school or go to college. It was like, you're just living life so fast paced. Like, I just want to rush, rush, rush. And you realize it's like, when you're older, it's like, man, I wish I could just go back there. Cause like you have no responsibilities and stuff like that. And if you could go back with like a goal in mind, like if I knew I was like, oh, I'm gonna eventually be a developer or something like that, you know, you could have started way earlier.
Yeah. Similar lifestyle for me. You know, I you're supposed to go to college. That's what my dad said. That's what my family expected of me. You're supposed to go to college. So I went to college and I spent a year there, and it just wasn't for me. I came out of high school looking for knowledge and a sponge in my head, and I wasn't getting answers in high school, and it was frustrating to go through high school. I had to challenge myself with economics and things like that to keep myself interested, but sports was my thing too. But you know, looking into the future, I wanted to learn more about how the world worked then. And so if you're coming out of high school and you're looking towards your future, what kind of things were you looking at? Did you expect to go to college? Did you look at other options? What brought you from, you know, that point there to becoming a developer?
Well, yeah, like first, I mean, that was the thing, is like, I kind of got to the game a little bit late because I didn't really have like an immediate path. Like the passion wasn't there right from the start. So in terms of like, I knew, oh, this is what I want to do, you know? So like when I went into school, first it was just kind of going through the motions. I thought college was a lot of fun. So, I mean, I just, you know, I was there and, you know, going through, I actually got like a finance accounting with information systems degree. Cause like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Yeah. It's a good mix.
And then, yeah. And then I went into, to become an like actual like auditor CPA kind of, when I got out of school, because
where'd you go?
I was just like, oh, this will give me a job fast and I'll get a paycheck. And then a paycheck I can use to do what I really want to do in life and have fun. And so like, it was just like a, you know, get a job kind of fast type of thing. And I think when I was in school, when I was like graduating, it was like 2008, 2009. If you remember that period, it's like, the economy had just like, you know, it was like a mild recession in 2008. Yeah. So the job market was pretty, not like the greatest. So it was like, that was a field that I could just get something. So I got a job as a CPA for Deloitte, this like auditing firm. And then after like, you know, 6 to 8 months of that, I realized like, man, I really hate auditing companies, because you're always like, you're like up in their business and everyone like doesn't like what you're doing. And like,
yeah,
you know, like you go there and they're like, oh no, don't let the, you know, auditor see this or that. Or
yeah,
so right. It's like, it was just a weird experience. And so realized I really don't like that, but I realized I was pretty, and like that job, I realized like I could take a spreadsheet and like, I would program all these crazy calculations in it. And So I was like, I don't really like auditing, but I like making these, programmatic spreadsheets that do everything for me. And so I was like, oh, these, spreadsheets are kind of fun. So then I went into financial data analysis and did that for a couple of years. And then finally realized like, okay, spreadsheets are fun, but if you work with the real database code, you're much more powerful. And so then I became a database developer, which led me to Snap Fitness, which is where then I met Matt Brown. And he was a full stack engineer. And so I saw what he was doing. I was like, wow, that's even cooler. So then I wanted to be a full stack engineer. And that's the same timeline where, I was doing this, big into Twitter and Reddit and Vote and kind of researching all these different angles and realized that there was a lot of censorship out there and there needs to be a place built by average people, just normal people that just about, letting people speak freely. So that, and then once I had that mission, it actually made me a much stronger developer because I was passionate, it brought the passion to what I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
And when you have the passion, it's like, it lights a fire in you and then you become, learn maybe much faster and you're not just working for a job just to get it done. You're working to become the best and do things in the best way. And that's, I think what made it possible.
It's been a heck of a journey. And I'm sure you have not looked back at much at it. When you look back at the whole journey, the whole 3 years and you kind of, reflect on it all, what's some of the reflections that you come to as far as, the platform itself, the people on it, and, just the overall journey as a whole, just as a, from you, what you've seen in the growth of it and the rest?
Well, just A, that we've gotten kind of lucky in terms of the connections we've made, because it's really not easy getting people to come to a website or a platform that you built. It's the ultimate chicken or an egg situation, because you build a cool platform, but if there's no one there, then someone will come there and be like, why should I be here? There's no one here. But you can't, you can't make the platform look cool until you have a bunch of people there. So the fact that we kind of got lucky with this max exodus from YouTube, it was a perfect thing because it snowballed it immediately to kind of having a life. And then we just hung on to it and kind of got lucky. And I think we got lucky because we found the best of the people, on the internet. And, I don't really do the super a lot of demographic data because we're not tracking and trying to, really probe into people's data. But I feel there's a lot of boomers and kind of all generations, but there've been some of the most supportive people. So only thing that we have to kind of look forward is how do we keep getting the younger generations on the site? And if we have to build short videos to to get the younger generation, maybe that happens. But,
Well, tell me about that. I see what you guys have done over the past year or so, and I see what the vision is. I don't have to have a conversation with you guys to see what you guys are trying to accomplish. And I really appreciate what you're trying to accomplish. There are others that have complained and whined about it, but I see the vision of what you're trying to do. And it's not easy to grow a platform that's built on a specific audience. And it really is kind of a niche audience. Tell me about the vision. How do you go about growing a platform? What is your challenges and what things do you think we need to do better to continue to grow the platform and bring, a larger audience to it?
Yeah. The audience, the people here are already so supportive and, they continue to donate and support the platform. So that's, obviously, something that's kind of the lifeblood of keeping us going. So that's there. But, I think it's just, realizing it's where are you investing time and money and effort? Cause it's, it may not be the best feature over here, but if you use these features and, hang out here, it will kind of, keep getting better. And then it's you're ultimately supporting maybe the new internet, and something that maybe existed in the 80s and 90s when people, like at the start of the dot-com era, when there was just a connection of computers. But I feel like it's been, it's been overtaken by the powers that be. And now it's picked winners and losers with bots and AI. And we have a chance here to retake the internet and retake, people speaking freely. And it has to be exactly what we're doing with the grassroots effort. And it's tough because it is harder to grow it. But then the thing that I've realized is, and many people on here that do this on a full-time basis and use the donations to fuel what they're trying to do with bringing, the news and the truth and the content creators on the platform, is that if you have a smaller group of people that are real people, it can be a smaller group, but if they're not bots, those real people, the chat is popping and those donations are flowing. If you have 1,000, 2,000 fake number over here on this platform, but they're 80% bots or 60% bots, then you're not going to get much donations. So yeah, great. You have a huge fake number over there, but you're not getting any donations because bots don't donate.
Yeah.
And bots don't really comment that much too, because that's a hard algorithm, because they would have to be encoding the video and knowing what the discussion is. And otherwise, if you just have a spam bot spamming something, it's really easy to notice that it's a bot. But so the thing is, we got to just keep growing organically and, not have bots and, word of mouth, get people over here, try to use the features we have here instead of a platform that, might not be free speech. And I don't think there's many out there that actually are true to what they, say they are.
Agreed.
So, yeah. And, I think that's one of the things with the ads program is, we're trying to basically utilize, businesses in the community that want to get their business known and put it on the site. And then we'll be using that, ad revenue coming in to help market to get more people here, in kind of efforts to kind of just take it to the next level. That's really one of that main initiatives of why, you're seeing ads on the platform now.
It's such a special thing because there's not a platform out there that is working to take back the culture with some of the greatest, underground and Patriot artists that are out there, that are doing different things to bring information and knowledge to people on a different way. And then also creating this environment of people who are, motivated and love this country and are working towards a bigger cause than themselves. And it's tough to find something like that out there. The vision of AOL was to create like this kind of interconnection of people and friends that and stuff like that, right? But it didn't have the challenges that we have in taking back the culture and changing the way content is given. And content is king, and it's going to continue to be king as the way that the content is created and distributed changes. The streaming platforms are all just at a foundational growth level, right? Like, the way that they used to do things was major corporations had the growth rights of all of these different things, and then they distributed them down to each one of those spots. Now the content creators and the owners of that content are becoming owners of it throughout the internet. It's completely changing the way content gets distributed throughout the industry and throughout media in general. And so as a business plan going forward, can you talk a little bit about that kind of the foundational vision of that? That I don't think people really understand that's built into the platform on how to become successful in a censorship industry and an industry that's completely changing the way content gets distributed.
I mean, I think, it's already been a few years out there, but people have to realize, I think we're relatively new. Like, if you compare us and when we're founded compared to the other ones, we're like 3 years in, and I think 10 years is the minimum elsewhere. So But what you also have to realize is I really believe this is like, this is the best place to be in terms of where the future is going, because a lot of people through the last election cycle kind of gave up on, you know, Fox and their news outlets. So they gave up on the mainstream, you know, whether it was Fox or CNN, they're all the same. You know, that paradigm has been blown. So what's really kind of where the future of media and news and everything is, right, what we have with these, you know, individual content creators, kind of a distributed network of people that are just, you know, alternative media. They're just doing things on their own. But people are finding, wow, this person has so much more life to them. They're more real. I can relate to this person better because they're not just like a talking head reading a teleprompter with an occasional joke, you know, sprinkled in. It's like, you know, they're really bringing the fire and the news and stuff like that. That mixed with the whole live stream arena, I think that's, and even like X is realizing it, like this is the future. And it's good that to be here kind of right, you know, that's where we put our stake in the ground, you know, pretty much with where we want to go. And so I think, you know, in terms of making a go for it, if you are a content creator out there and this is what you want to do, and there's just a, you know, consistency, I think, is king in terms of establishing yourself. Pick a time, be consistent, and you'll eventually start making inroads. And then the subscription feature is another one that has been very popular, especially since you can gift subscriptions. But a lot of people don't know you can do the subscriber only shows, which I think those tools, we want to give people the tools to do this on a full-time living. You know, because it's hard, like finding the news and doing this is, it's a lot of energy. I don't even think I could do it. I probably wouldn't be very good at it anyway.
You don't want to do it, trust me.
Yeah. Well, the reason I made the platform is I really enjoy watching others do it. So it's something I love, you know, seeing the individual content creators. And I have a lot of respect for it. So, yeah. You know, but like we try to give the people the tools. So you got their donation system, and the best I've seen people that are really able to kind of do this full time is they utilize both. They get the, you know, people to, they push the subscriptions out so that they get some kind of stable, you know, income, and then the donations, and you can make a full time go for it. And like I said, I think some people come here and I hate it. They leave because they don't see, you know, 3,000, 5,000 people watching live, but they don't realize. And I really, you know, as a database guy, as a guy that was really into analytics and analyzing other platforms and seeing discrepancies where, you know, they'll show other platforms will show, you know, 1,000 people live and there's only 10 people chatting in the chat, like 10 unique people. Well, that number doesn't make any sense. Or if you look at the donations from our system to another one. So what people don't realize is that all the other social platforms, I think, are doing it to some extent of inflating the numbers and things like that. And it's hard to prove, but I have a feeling and a, you know, suspicion where the, you know, about it. And people, when they come here, they'll see us, they might be like, oh, well, there's not a lot of people here, but then they see the level of support they're getting. It's like, well, a few hundred real, you know, people, not bots, will actually contribute quite a lot in a very sustainable income. And that's only a start. If we grow, then, you know, if we're supporting 100 people now, we can maybe support 1,000 people 2 years from now, or 10,000 people doing content, creating content and people consuming it. It's a symbiotic relationship because some people love watching it and some people love presenting it, and it's great either way.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's it only has a vision that I can see of growth into the future as long as it's everyone stays on the same mission and sticks with it. And I think that's been – we've had our own battles and our own drama, which is tough. But we are a family and we are our own minds, our own free thinkers. And that's the best part about the platform is you've brought together – some of the greatest free thinkers and minds that are out there in the alternative media sphere. There's no doubt about it. There's no one else that can compete on a grassroots level. You know, people that aren't trained or picked to do certain content creation or things like that. You know, there's a lot of great platforms out there that have a lot of great content, and the future of content is king for sure. Talk about the growth challenges and where you see, you know, things that you want to accomplish for the future to continue to grow the platform. What are those challenges? How can we all work together to break through them? And, you know, just where you see things going into the future if you had your way.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I want to see, you know, a lot of growth in terms of getting new people here. I think, you know, one of the challenges I'm trying to think through is like, how do we transcend into younger cultures? And that's where we're trying to get it a little bit into other topics, you know, like gaming or just like hangouts, you know, because I think we've done great on the news geopolitical stuff, which is awesome. And it's going to get even, you know, more exciting in the next year, obviously. But sometimes the news cycle is just too toxic or too boring. So you have to be multifaceted. So, you know, some of the goals we have are attracting other audience genres and really, as I showed you kind of with that preview update on the UI is, yeah, well, I'll give you a sneak peek. That's the best I can give. And this is not something we've showed to anyone else, you know, besides the core team. So one of the one feedback we've been hearing a lot is that the platform's great, but it's a little bit confusing and busy when if you're new to it. And so we had a bunch of features, and what we're doing on this next release is we're just making it easier for the user to find exactly what they want, you know, to see the newest, you know, videos of who they're following, to see you know, who's going live of, and, you know, new posts from who they're following right here on the left and, you know, in a super easy fashion. So this, you know, this next release, we're basically kind of making a home dashboard that you see when you get in here that just puts it on a platter, exactly what you'd want to see. And it's going to have some sectional categories, you know, the newest vids and shows from who you're following, people that are live, some trending stuff, and then there'll be some more sections. And then we're going to have some main hierarchical categories for people to categorize their shows so that people can further find just the content that they're interested in. So this is really, like, this has not been shown before, and it's not quite fully baked yet. This is a prototype. So, but this is one cool thing that we have coming real soon. I think having those features will help keep the people that we have here. And what happens is if you have a site that's a little more simplistic and easy to find content, like where we're going, I think what will happen is when we get, you know, exposed, when we have those opportunities to get exposed to a wider audience, you know, whether it's some big influencer coming over, because I think that's the key if you're not in with the big corporate investment products, is that you get some key influencers coming over, that they push new people here, and you get some exposure of new eyes, and it's being at the right, you know, having the right UI at the right time to kind of lock that person in. And and that's kind of where we're trying to go, is making it a little more like expanding a bit in terms of like a wider audience from out of the geopolitical, and then having other stuff make it more simplistic, easy to use, seamless experience, less buggy, And another point, I had one more thing that I was going with that, but I think that's enough.
Yeah, no. What about challenges that you see as far as trying to do that? Is there things that content creators can do? Is there things that I can do? Is there things that the audience can help do? Like, how can we help, and or what are those challenges to growth, specific ones that you see?
Well, I think a lot of the challenges is just, you know, exactly, you know, because we're not one of the picked platforms, you know, that I think a lot of them were created specifically, or, you know, a big corporate initiative with a lot of money to start that has, you know, the right ties and stuff like that. So that's the challenge, is being grassroots, and the ability to give people free speech and everything like that is, you know, because we're kind of grassroots, which makes it a lot. That's the main barrier, is it's harder to get that big microphone. And it's also harder to convince, you know, a bigger influencer to come over here, because of, you have to sell them on the ideals of what you're doing and the mission of it, which are kind of abstract in nature, you know, explaining, you know, how the system is gamified and the bots and the algorithms and things like that. Is not, people don't see that. And sometimes it strokes their ego to see that. So they don't care that, well, I'm not making very much donations over here, but, you know, I like seeing 40,000, you know, users or whatever on a show. And it's probably like a fraction of that are real. So that's some of the barriers, is like, you know, breaking that perception, you know, with some of the big, bigger influencers. And then I think one strategy that, you know, like you yourself or any other content creators, a lot of people stream to other places. We've seen a lot of success with people, you know, if they really want to make Pilled their flagship, the best way of doing it is, you know, halfway through your show, make it exclusive and, you know, shut the other places down and funnel the people here. And you also, it opens people's eyes up to see, you know, if they have hundreds of people supposedly live elsewhere and, you know, only like 20 come over, they kind of see the real audience size. But every little, you know, every person helps. And I think that that's one strategy that's pretty successful. And a lot of times what I've seen people doing that when they come and they're like, okay, I'm going to do this, you know, exclusively on Pilled, is that they see an immense increase on their donations and support, and it puts a fire into the people they already had over here. So that's a strategy that I think is, we're actually seeing success with that, and we're going to keep trying to, you know, work that angle with people and, you know, with new people that we bring here.
That's great. And, you know, I have a lot of love for the platform. Without this platform, I would not have been able to do what I've been able to do for the last 5 years. There's no doubt about it. At that point where they cut the larger platforms off, somebody like me who has a more of a niche audience and a smaller audience, forget about it. It was done. But what happened was because of this platform, I was able to travel around the country and bring stories and foundational interviews that, you know, that is special to this platform. And because of this platform, they have been giving me the opportunity to hopefully pursue this going into the future and changing the way I do things. And I hope to be a part of that growth by bringing some content creators and some other people to the platform, as well as some interviews that I think are going to help with that in the future. That's my vision anyways.